Hey y'all, welcome to Lipstick and Laughs.
What? With Nicole and Jules, where we talk about Southern fried cooking.
Yes. And how to bless your sweet heart.
Oh y'all, bless your heart, Nicole. Oh gosh.
We talk about tons of relatable topics for young women and mamas.
And Southern belles.
Yes. I just came down from Charleston. I'm exhausted, y'all.
All right, redo.
Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules.
We're a conversational podcast about various topics like mom life, relationships, body positivity, and what's trending.
We are women supporting women through chit-chat and laughs.
We promise to be candid, relatable, and best of all, we're not afraid to laugh at ourselves.
So thanks for joining us. Enjoy.
Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs, where we chat about tons of topics relating to young women and moms. I am Nicole from the Enraged Women Facebook group, and joining me is Jules, the one and only suburban artsy mom.
Yay!
Yay!
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. I feel like it's been a while since we sat down to chat about life. I mean, we've seen each other a bunch.
Sure. Yeah.
But we haven't recorded because of the holiday, and there's just been a lot of life happening. So, before we get into our fun little episode that we have planned, do tell, what lipstick are you wearing today?
I am wearing All Natural Nicole. Meaning, I'm not wearing anything.
I like that she had something planned out. She wrote down the name, and she, you know, it's called something with purple.
Yeah.
And yet now she's just,
I'm just
naked
strictly
Nicole.
Ad-libbing. Yes. This is all improv, right?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about what I bought. I bought this lip stain from Sephora. It's Sephora Collection, and it's called Rockin' Purple.
So
it was $3.
$3, man. You can't go wrong with that.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, right? So it's not on Nicole, but maybe next episode we'll be able to see the Rockin' Purple, and maybe she's just rockin', maybe she's just purple, maybe it's a little bit of both. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, it's cute. I showed you the picture of it. It's deep purple, and I hope it's good. It might come on brighter, but we'll see. I'll get it by the time we record the next episode.
Okay, when you wear it, this just came to me in a stroke of brilliance.
Okay.
When you wear it, all you have to do is just carry around a boombox that plays Prince
the whole
time.
Purple
Please
Rain.
Please do.
Oh, I love Prince.
I know, right?
Oh, I've seen him in concert.
Did you?
Yeah.
I never saw Prince in concert.
He's very interesting.
Well, he passed away several years ago, so talk about him in the past tense.
Oh, yeah. He was. I know, it's hard for me to accept.
I know.
Because he's a legend.
Yeah.
Because I grew up listening to him with my parents, and they loved him. Well, my mom did. And one thing that's funny, at the concert, there was a lot of him, like, leaving the stage and pretending the concert was over, and then he'd magically appear again and be like, I'm back, and start singing another.
He would magically appear. That would be something that Prince would do. He just, like, just appears out of nowhere in a slinky outfit.
It would go dark, and then we'd think, oh, okay, it's over. We'd start packing up, and then the stage would light up, and he's, like, somewhere else on the stage, and he's like, here I am. And he would sing a whole nother collection.
Here I am.
And he did that quite a lot. So when he really was done, we were like, wait, do we leave? You know?
Do we leave?
He was like a character. It was interesting.
I saw Madonna 15 years ago, and she did the same thing. I feel like that's definitely a trait of 80s pop stars.
Yeah.
That they would just... And then it wasn't like they would come back on and do one encore song, and then the concert was over. It was like a whole nother 30-minute set.
Yes.
And it's like, well, Madonna, you didn't have to fool us.
Yeah.
Like, we know we signed up for a 2-hour concert here.
Right, right.
Like, we know you weren't done after 45 minutes.
You better not be.
I know, right?
The ticket costs for them were pretty high.
I love that we both have notes in front of us and like a plan of what we're going to talk about. And yet here we are talking about Prince and Madonna.
Sometimes, most episodes, guys, we don't have notes.
Yeah, so. I know. So we're very prepared this episode, and yet here we are off script for the last 5 minutes. It's okay. Anyway, I have today ColourPop Ultra Matte Lip. It is called More Better. It's actually a very pretty color. It's
yes, the
it's
name like, is weird.
The name is very weird. Yeah. But the color is better. The color is kind of a bright magenta, and it's very pretty. It's a matte, so I'm not used to it. I always feel like I need to exfoliate my lips before I use a matte because
And then when you take it off, you gotta hydrate your lips or moisturize your lips.
It's a little intense, man. It's a whole process. It is a whole process. I don't know if I'm down for a whole process. Moving on. So, Nicole, we wanted to just briefly chat because we both saw the phenomenon that is Frozen 2 together.
Yes.
So, give me your thoughts. What did you think?
Well, going into it, I didn't know what to expect. I went into the unknown. I went into the theater.
I know, right?
And I was like, oh, please, God, I hope this is good. Because I mean, we had our little daughters with us.
Yeah.
And they're quite obsessed. I mean, yes. We're obsessed too.
I love it's one of the better the movies. Franchise. It's so good. I even loved that little short that they put together that was in front of Coco.
Oh,
when
like
Coco came out.
Yes, yeah.
And we would listen to that soundtrack nonstop.
That was good.
Call me crazy, but I'm obsessed with Jonathan Groff's voice.
Oh,
it is just the sexiest voice. It's like, I don't need to look at him.
Yeah.
I just want to sit there blindfolded and him just whisper things into my ears. And if anyone's familiar with Jonathan Groff, he's a huge Broadway star. He's, he was in Hamilton and he was in, I believe, Spring Awakening was his big breakthrough.
Okay.
But he is also in Mindhunter on Netflix, which, oh, man, I don't need to watch that show. I just need to listen to him talk about, like, murderers and I'm like, hi.
He's very interesting.
I
could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he is of the gay persuasion.
I think he's a very ambiguous
He was in a really good HBO series. God, it's the name escapes me, but it was a series about gay men in San Francisco, and it ran for maybe like 3 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He was also on, I never watched the show, the one about the high school choir.
Glee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was I didn't on watch Glee. That either.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah. I lived it in real life, but I didn't watch it.
Man, I was the drama kid, so I was like, ugh, I don't need to watch this. This is fine.
Exactly.
But he was in that show also. But anyway, if anyone is confused as to who we're talking about, he does the voice of Kristoff in the Frozen franchise, and I just adore his voice. But I loved Frozen 2.
Yeah.
And my absolute favorite part is Kristoff's song, not just because of the fact that Jonathan Groff's voice just does things to me. But I know, right? I know my husband's all the time is like, I know you like his voice. I get it. But if anyone has seen it, the way that they put together his ballad is just hilarious.
Yes.
And
especially for people our age or older.
Man, we're sitting there, we're 35, and we're like, this takes me back to my childhood.
Yes.
And all of the confusion around watching music videos exactly like that. Mm-hmm.
It was like a rock ballad.
Yes, yep. It was so good. It was so good. And I actually read Kristen Bell had praised the song.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, it's like the first song in Disney history where it's a male character pining after a female character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's all these, you know, Ariel song and Rapunzel song. All of the songs, they're all pining after a male character.
Yes.
And this one, it's the male pining after the female character.
Exactly.
And I also...
Progress.
I remember this moment in the movie, too, that Kristen Bell pointed it out. When Anna finally gets back together with Kristoff, and instead of saying, stand back, I will save you kind mm-hmm. of vibe. He says, I'm here. How can I help you?
Yes.
And that, I remember when he said that, and I thought, I got chills too. Like, I was like, wow.
Yes. That's a difference.
It is.
It's showing men in much more of an equal partnership with a woman. And then also in the song, he's pretty vulnerable. He's in this state of, you know, insecurity, and he's declaring his love for her. And the lyrics are pretty good. I mean, it is a comical scene because it's like kind of 80s, early 90s video type look. But it was very good because you don't see Prince Eric or the Beast singing a song like this to their loves. They're just, you know, the default love interest of whatever princess it is in the film.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's good. It's very even. That's why I like Frozen, because it's so progressive and so, like, kind of feminist.
Yeah, it is. You know? Especially because the there's two main characters, obviously, but for Anna, she, in the first one, I assume everyone's seen it, we're trying to not give away spoilers here. In the first one, though, you know, her storyline is she's the typical princess who falls in love after 30 seconds of meeting a person. And then they just kind of flip it on its heels, like, oh, well, nope, this isn't your story. You're going to, you know, have an actual relationship with someone before you...
Yes.
You know, before you dedicate your life to them.
Right.
And then Elsa, never before has there been a story where it's just about the character... finding herself and the love between two sisters and
no love interest for her. There doesn't need to be.
In two movies, no love interest.
Yeah,
and I feel
that's fine.
I feel like the first one, the movie was most primarily about the love between the two sisters. And the second one is Elsa really finding love and finding who within herself. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Love it.
Because you have to love yourself before you love somebody.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of people walking this world that don't love themselves, and then they're in situations they shouldn't be in because maybe they never learned that.
Yep.
So, but for me, I really like to see in the first movie when I think twice it was mentioned, no, you can't marry someone you just met.
Yeah.
You know, Elsa says it to her, and then later Kristoff says it to her. So it's like reinforcing the strong idea of what reality is now in the modern world. So our girls watched it and heard that when our generation was like, oh, you have this 5-second moment of staring at each other. You're destined to marry him.
Yeah, you know, and I hate to say it because growing up, The Little Mermaid was my absolute favorite movie. And I mean, all of us, we're all of that age. I'm sure that everyone had that obsession with that movie. And watching it now with my daughter, I'm like, oh,
yes.
Grown.
So many red flags.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
I watched it in a doctor's office once when my daughter was like maybe just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being kind of shocked and, you know, horrified.
Yeah.
Because it's like you lose your voice. First, you want to change yourself. You want to lose your voice. And then you have to fight your family for this person. You know,
That you don't even know. I mean, she decides to lose her voice. So she loses who she is, basically. And she changes herself to be with a man that she's literally never spoken with.
Mm-hmm. So,
woo!
Yeah. So we're on a good path of Frozen and Frozen 2.
I'm loving it.
Moana is pretty feminist.
Yes.
You know, there's no love interest there. And she just saves, you know, herself and her village and all of Hawaii.
I know, right? All of that civilization. And she becomes, you know, I guess she also became a queen.
Yeah.
But not... in the same, you know,
right.
Without the label.
And there was that one, you know, scene where she's like, I'm not a princess.
Yeah.
You know, because technically she is, I guess, like a tribal leader of some
kind,
you know, so that was good.
I wonder with the new, don't even get me started on the remakes. It's like, Disney, we get it. Like,
yeah.
You want more money, take our money. But I wonder if with the Little Mermaid remake, if they're going to maybe make it a little bit more modern.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I mean, in the casting, they seem to be doing
Yeah, they
that.
Already have, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. Hopefully the dialogue may change a little. And, you know, the older I get, too, the more I relate with Ursula.
I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Just the fact that now I look at her and I don't think she's ugly. I actually don't think she's ugly. Her eyebrows are really good.
I know.
But they're a little too sharp, but,
you
know.
She's got makeup skills.
Her makeup.
I always felt bad. Like, why does she hate everyone? Yes. What is her story?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there could be maybe some background on that. Like, why did she become that way?
It kind of sounds like King Trident was kind of a dick to
her. Exactly. You know? He could have been, you know. But yeah. We just, you know, when we're young, we just took their word for it. Okay, I guess he knows all.
Yeah. It kind of seems like they made her the outcast because she was different. Like, all these beautiful mm-hmm. mermaids swimming around, and then here's this Octomaid. I don't know what she is. But they're like, oh, she must be evil because she's different.
Yes.
I don't know. But I'm making stories here.
Here we go. I mean, we could talk about this forever. I mean, maybe I just relate with her because she's kind of sassy. I love that she has magical powers, and that I like her makeup, and I like that she's voluptuous. And also, when she becomes human, I gotta say, she's hotter than Ariel.
Yeah, Vanessa is got it going on.
She's cute. Right? I'm like, no wonder he's like, let me marry you.
Again, Vanessa's eyebrows on point.
Yes. She looks good. I was like, well.
I know. Well, she's
she
got.
She just needed to be a little, like, more curvy to match what her sea creature looked like. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they'll do that with the new one. Fingers crossed. We'll see. This is not what the episode was going to be about. So we did want to just talk briefly about Thanksgiving shopping. And okay. I know that you had mentioned your lipstick. I went all out this year because, Nicole, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but my dryer has not worked for 2 effing months.
Ugh.
2 months. And my kids have had the stomach flu in that time. So I've taken numerous trips to the laundromat.
Ugh.
Can I tell you a quick story about me being at the laundromat?
Yeah.
I brought my son because he had had the stomach flu the day before. And my husband was working all day. I had to take him. My daughter was at school. I had to take my freaking 2-year-old to the laundromat. And I was like, I'm going to be prepared. We drove through McDonald's beforehand. I got him his favorite little mango banana smoothie and a hash brown. And I was like, you can sit there and we can eat and I've got a couple toys for you. This is going to be a good laundromat experience.
Yeah.
And 30 seconds into it, he spilled his smoothie on the table. And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, babe. It's fine. And I reached down to grab a napkin. I look up and he is licking the table.
Oh, no.
And this is a laundromat table. It's not like... And I know it's still gross if it were, you know, at, say, McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they go around and wipe the tables
periodically.
I don't know
how they maintain
laundromats. I don't know that they ever wipe down that laundromat table.
And forgive our ignorance because we are suburban moms and we don't normally go to laundromats. But.
Oh, man. It was disgusting. And I freaked out. I'm like, no, 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 don't do that. Ew, ew. Like, he was just throwing up the day before. Like, don't. No, please don't. And we get it cleaned up. I'm taking a picture to send to my husband. Like, look at your nasty son licking a table. And I look up and his face has just got that look of he's gonna puke.
Mm.
And he just throws up all over the table. Oh, man.
No.
That was... Actually, he started throwing up and I grabbed my... I had gotten an oatmeal. I grabbed my half-eaten oatmeal bowl and I shoved it underneath him and he threw up in my oatmeal.
Oh, good save. Yeah. Thank God it didn't get, like, all over the clothes. But then again, you're on the right place.
No, he did. Good. He got it all over his clothes. So we
did
went,
you clean it?
Yeah, we were at the laundromat. So we went out to the car and I found, like, a pair of my daughter's bright pink sweatpants that were too big
works.
On him. And then an old jacket that was too small on him. So I shoved him in that. and he pranced around the laundromat the rest of the time. He was fine. He has a habit. He was eating little apple slices. He has a habit of just shoving them in the back of his throat sometimes, and then he'll gag on them.
Yeah.
And I think because he was throwing up the day before that his stomach was a little weak.
Oh my
so
gosh.
He didn't throw. He was fine the rest of the time, but oh, man. Anyway, no more laundromat for me because Black Friday came and I sent my husband to Best Buy and he bought me a new washer and dryer set.
Awesome.
Yes. And he was like, do you want to go together? And I was like, no. I have been dealing with hang drying my laundry and going to the laundromat and just piles and piles of laundry for 2 months.
Just go get buy something. Them.
Well, we did our research and we figured out which ones we wanted and what would fit and blah, blah, blah.
Did you get really cool? Because they have nice, like, colored ones.
We did. We got what color? We got charcoal.
Which, oh, okay.
I know. We didn't get a bright color. They didn't have, like...
Like, bright red or
like, bright
teal.
Blue if they
or,
had something
yeah.
like that. But, I mean, we've had white ones for the last 10 years. So, charcoal feels fancy.
Yeah, feels fancy. You'll feel sexy doing laundry.
I know, right? Oh, man, I can't wait to do laundry later today. I never thought I'd hear myself say
wow.
that. I know.
I might come over and do mine.
I know, right? The barrel of the washer is huge. Like, I might actually be able to wash my king-size comforter on the first try. Normally, I'd shove it in there. Have to run it like 3 or 4 times before the whole thing appeared to be clean. Which I, now listening to myself, probably wasn't the best course of action. Maybe that's why it broke. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
No, actually, I think it broke because the kids kept bringing sand into the house and all over their clothes and all that. I think it just got sand in it. And it,
maybe.
They
yeah.
were 10 years old. It was time.
That's fine. Yeah. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
I know,
you.
Right? So tell me about your shopping experience.
My shopping. Oh, so earlier I mentioned Sephora. They had a 50% off. I thought at first everything. So I was excited to go online for Cyber Monday. I do Cyber Monday, not Black Friday. Because I don't like crowds.
Yeah.
I don't really like when there's a lot of people in one enclosed space, especially a store where I'm trying to get stuff. So I skip that and I do Cyber Monday. I'm in my PJs and drinking my tea, have my shows on, and I'm online. And I had like 3 tabs open. I had Amazon, I had Sephora, and I did Old Navy.
Ooh,
so I got some
nice.
Stuff from Old Navy. Was good. That was 50% off everything and free shipping.
Ooh.
Sephora was 50% off select items and free shipping for $50 and over.
Okay.
So it was okay.
Yeah, Amazon, but I mean, how easy is it to spend $50 at
right.
Sephora?
Yeah. I mean, the lipstick I got, thank God, was, I think it was already marked down, and then it was an extra 50 off, so that's why it ended up being $3.
Yeah, you bought your normally. $3 lipstick and then had to pay $15
yeah,
in shipping.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple gift sets, you know, for Christmas people. I'll give them to at Sephora, you know, like bath stuff. Bed, Bath, and nope. Bath and Body Works.
Oh,
I always say Bed, Bath, and Beyond.
Blood, Bath, and Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I intertwine those two all
yeah,
the time.
I know, yeah. right?
But no more Bed, Bath, and Beyond, I don't think.
No,
think
they closed down.
Well,
yeah. at least in our city.
Area.
I don't... Because I just got a Martha Stewart magazine, and it had a 20% off Bed, Bath, and Beyond coupon in it. And I was all...
So maybe there's some places.
Yeah, I'm sure they're somewhere, and they're still probably online.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bath and Body Works...
Yeah. Two very different stores.
Yeah. I love Bath & Body Works candles. Those are the best.
Yeah.
So they had, I believe, 40%, not 50. I'm not sure. And then Amazon, I got a lot of like little toys for my daughter.
Oh, see, I didn't
like,
even do
I got
any
science-y
Cyber Monday
type
stuff.
Like I got, so I got little geoid rocks that you crack open. There's crystals
inside.
Oh,
how fun are those?
Yeah,
yeah, she's going to love that.
I'm going to hide them in the yard, and then we're going to go do, like, a dino experiment and, like, try to find them.
That's
and, like,
fun.
You know.
That'll
so
be fun.
It'll be cool. I'm trying to do more science stuff with her.
Oh,
so.
That's... You are a great mom.
Thank
Meanwhile,
you.
Meanwhile, I'm just letting my son dump pounds of glitter all over my house, so...
Oh, well, you're the artsy one. That's good. I'm not crafty at all, so I come... to do your art classes.
I know, with her.
Because I figure, oh, she'll get that with you, and then I'll do math and science and reading.
I gotta set up a Christmas art day for the kids. But no, yeah, last night I was, I've been working on a boutique that I'm doing this weekend. Actually, if anyone's interested, it's December 7th at Plum Canyon Elementary School. It's right off Plum Canyon. If anyone's in the Santa Clarita area, I think it's from 10 to 4.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely certain. But cool. Yeah, if anyone's interested, I was working on a painting last night. Really cute one with these snow-covered trees in a forest. It's really adorable. And my son's just sitting next to me. I don't know what he's doing. He's just having the time of his life. I finally look over at him, and he had found like 4 vials of glitter and just dumped them all over whatever it was he was working on. And I was like, oh my gosh, my house is just caked in glitter now. And then I get them to bed, and then I settle back down with a glass of wine, and I'm painting, and I look on the floor, and I'm like, there's just a pile of blue glitter right there.
Ugh,
weird.
Glitter just never leaves, too.
And then I finish my painting, and I go put it with, I have a bunch of paintings, like 20 paintings that I'm taking, and so I go and I set my painting over in the corner with all the other ones, and I look at them, and all of them have just this little pile of blue glitter. Like, he just pranced around the house.
Oh, he marked his territory.
He just poured little piles of blue glitter. They're still there because I thought it was adorable.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to get rid of this.
Yeah. He's like, I'm adding my special touch.
I know, right? He's like marking his glitter territory.
Thank God it was glitter.
I know, right? I'm all showing up. They're like, why do you paintings smell? 2-year-old son. You know.
They're really nice paintings. I love
Thank
them.
You.
You have a lot of talent.
Thank you. I really adore the
detail you put and the patience you have. Because, you know, we've all, well, me and Jules and our friends have been to like the paint nights where you drink wine or you have a little dinner and then you paint at the same time. And those are real fun. But I think you have an expert level of art and
Thank
painting.
Thank you.
I do. I think you're great. So maybe you could teach us all painting.
I know.
You
could do
a mom's craft night.
Yeah, a mom's craft night. That would be fun.
That'd be cool. I mean,
I did that last year. We did, we all made Christmas gift tags.
Oh,
but that
okay.
was really, and we all know Shiva very well. That was really Shiva. She showed up with all the supplies.
Yeah.
And
she's
like,
so crafty too.
I know. She's like, look at what I got. And I'm all, I have a glue gun.
Put you two together and you can run the crafty world.
Oh, yes. The
we can make
the
all
free
kinds
crafty
of stuff.
World.
Cool.
That is us. So we actually, we've been chit-chatting.
25 minutes later.
Terrible.
We want to chat about this comedy special,
yes,
right?
Yeah, okay. It's brand new, and I'm going to completely butcher this name. Eliza Schlesinger?
I think so.
I think that's
right.
Yeah,
that's good.
She's a comedian. She's had several Netflix specials. Nicole has actually seen her perform in person. I've never seen her in person, but I'd love to. She's been around for a long time. But she just came out with a new Netflix special called Unveiled. And let me tell you how much her special spoke to me. And I texted Nicole, like, we're talking about this on the podcast because it just spoke to me so hard. Mm-hmm. So what were some of your thoughts?
Well, I loved it. I mean, she's funny. I mean, I love comedy. I always, like, secretly wanted to be a stand-up comedian, but I don't know that I have the courage. So
we hide behind a podcast
microphone.
Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, exactly. But I've been going to shows for years, and I love comedy. And it's interesting because when I go to watch a female comic, I'm so, like, happy and, like, I'm all like, oh, yeah, females are funny too, and I'm empowered and stuff. But then we do this thing that she even talks about in her podcast where females are extra critical of each other.
Yeah, we
are.
Or
women.
Women.
Yeah, I don't really want to say females.
Yeah.
But, so women. So I was doing that a little bit for her, and I was trying not to, but she was overall very good. I do have to say I'm partial to, like, the black comics.
Yeah.
I think they're a little funnier, but I love everything.
Yeah.
And she was just really physical and it was a little distracting, but she talked a lot about wedding stuff, and it's called Unveiled because she just got married. And so she talked about like all the funny things that happen in planning your wedding, and then the day of the wedding, and then afterwards, and the honeymoon. And we both, Jules and I, could relate because we've had weddings.
We have both had weddings. And I related so hard to this because when I got married in 2011, I sat there and was like, we are not going to do that weird ass garter thing.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, I remember during my wedding, people asked like, are you going to do the garter thing? And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. Sorry. I know that you guys wanted to see that happen.
It's so awkward and so like, so barbaric.
It is. And Eliza, she has a whole, it's like a 45-minute stretch where she just rips that,
yes,
that tradition apart. But I didn't do that at my wedding, and I felt like some people were a little shocked that I didn't do it.
Were they the older guests? Or just in general?
No, in general, there were a couple comments like, huh, you guys didn't do that. How weird.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I didn't even think to do it. Maybe that's how feminist I am. I just didn't even I didn't never plan for it, and I didn't even look for a garter or
I didn't do any of that either.
Thought of it. And if people thought, oh, she didn't do it, I wouldn't have noticed. You know?
I know, right?
So, it is uncomfortable because why should you have this, like, sexy charade in front of your parents and your family?
I don't know where the tradition came from, but I can only imagine that it, 500,000 years ago or whatever, not 500,000, but 1,000 to 500 years ago, you would get married and then you would consummate the wedding. And I mean, if Game of Thrones has taught me anything, people would watch you consummate it. And I'm assuming
that in history.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like the dulled down version of it. I'm not entirely certain, but
is it correct that after he takes off the garter with his teeth down your ham hock leg?
I know.
But is it, I don't know if I'm remembering it correct, but do the men, the grooms, throw that behind them to the men, and the men grab it, and whoever catches it
gets married. It's like, it's the equivalent of the bouquet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, because I think I've been to some weddings where they just do the garter, and then that's it. And then some weddings where they do it all, like the throw too.
So yeah.
It's so weird.
It is so weird. And I'm so glad. I felt justified as I was sitting there listening to her just rip that apart. I was like, go me, being ahead of my time in 2011. It was
embarrassing
terrible
for the couple, and then also the people watching, not good.
So not only does she talk about her wedding and all of the, everything that comes along with the wedding, but she talks about feminism a lot. And I really like her approach on feminism. At one point she says that we have to learn that we can be pro-women without being anti-men.
Yes.
And that statement, it's something that I feel like has gotten lost a lot in the last couple of years because of the Me Too movement and all that stuff. That's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been great to be able to come out and say, no, life for women kind of sucks sometimes, mm-hmm, because of men, but also it's pretty awesome sometimes because of men.
Yeah.
You know?
And feminism, it has the stigma where you think, oh, we're bra burning, we don't shave. But it's like, we want to be equal. That's it. We want men to be equal to women to be equal to men. Not women to be above
exactly
men. So,
I mean, no, we can create life, so who's better now?
Right. I mean, clearly, we have a little bit of an edge. But I mean, she was great in saying that even like on social media, like you see the feminist pages and stuff, and my page or my group, that I have with Myra and Trisha, the Enraged Women, is a feminist group. But I don't know that I like the memes where it's just condemning men all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just men this, men that. Male bashing shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
Because just as we create life, we need men to create it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we do a lot of the work. But, you
almost
know, it's
all
just,
of it.
Yeah. But it's just, you know.
They got to enjoy themselves for 30 seconds.
Yeah. There's some posts just there and in general. Not really there, but because it's like so well maintained by the admins. Holla.
Oh!
But,
shout out to myself.
Right. But it's like the comment section.
Yeah.
On literally any post. Anything. It's just so hurtful. And there is, like, I think the psychology behind it. You know, people are hiding behind their computer screens, angry at the world. And mm-hmm. there's those people. But if in relating to feminism, I feel like there's this one-upping thing or this competition that women have. And if maybe you don't agree.
Yeah.
It's like, not okay for some people to just agree to disagree. Their feelings get so hurt. Their whole identity is blown to smithereens because somebody disagrees with them. And that's not smart. It's not how you grow.
It's not how you progress. Mm-hmm. No one's going to take, I shouldn't say this, but no one's going to take a super emotional woman seriously. Like, you have to be logical. You can't feel personally attacked by someone with a different opinion. You have to... If you completely disagree with them and you want to fight with them, you have to present logic as to why they are wrong.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Come on.
I mean, if somebody has a clear point, there's a whole sentiment behind the message, not just don't nitpick the words that are chosen. It's just like get the message, not the specific details of how it's said. Like, language matters, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to just, like, trust yourself and others to get the point versus... And then because then you're almost afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the male bashers and the anti, you know, people, they will jump on you and correct you.
Yeah,
and
no matter what. I just... this is a good example. There's the Peloton bike. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
So it, I mean, it's like $2,500 to buy, and it's like a $45 monthly subscription to have access to their content. So who's buying it? Rich people, right? Uh-huh. It's not like there's middle class people just buying that have an extra $3,000 just to blow on
a stationary bike.
Yeah, yeah, that you can get for a fraction of the cost if you just bought a regular one.
Like a gym membership and go to their bike.
So they know their audience. And I recently read that they had an ad that was this, you know, this super fit white dude and this super fit, you know, tiny blonde girl wife. And he bought it for her. And she's like, I just adore this. I didn't know how much it would change my life. And it, like, follows them. And all of the Twitter comments are, like, going crazy. Like, oh, well, she's there. So it changed her life. How? She looks exactly the same. They're just, it's just a skinny person, you know, with their skinny problems kind of thing. And it's like, well, they know their audience. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they know that that's probably the person that buys their freaking expensive bike. Like, you don't need to bash them because they're targeting... They're not targeting the person who is making those angry comments. They're targeting the rich, skinny white mm-hmm. girl who's probably on a housewife show.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not targeting the young millennium hippie chick that likes to, you know, hang out in the woods and do yoga. You know? Because she can't afford. I mean,
well,
she might be able to.
She might
has time on her hands like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
She could afford it. But, you know, I've seen one of my friends has it. And she actually isn't skinny and isn't white. But she got it and she loves it, you know. But I know that now that there's so many commercials now,
yeah,
with anything, like, there's this whole thing about how many presents you buy your kids.
You know, I've seen, and here we go, just going off on a tangent. I do have one more point to make about Eliza Schlesinger, about her special, but we're going to talk about this because I keep seeing online, like, the whole, well, don't tell your kids that Santa got them the iPad or whatever. And it's like,
I do both. I mean, I work hard, so Santa always gives her something.
Yeah.
Because I like the magic of it all, and it's cute and stuff. Because pretty soon, some kid at school or some parents that she goes to talk to is going to blow her mind wide open and rock her world with a Santa secret.
It is.
And it's getting earlier and earlier. I think I found out in the second grade.
Really? I held on to it way too long. My grandpa showed me a VHS tape, which was real crappy quality. It was, you know, like with the lines through it, like you could hardly see it. But he showed me a tape of Santa flying through his neighborhood in like 1991. And I held on to that tape while everyone said, oh no, he's not real. And here I am like 11. I'm like,
you're like, I have my evidence.
I have seen Santa. He's like an alien. Like, I'm pretty sure my sister, who is 3.5 years younger than me, stopped believing in Santa before I did. And then we wonder why I'm like, Disneyland is awesome.
Yes. Exactly. Hey, whatever. It's all fun. As long as you're having a fun time in life, I don't judge.
So I
do say, you know, this... I do take credit for, like, the larger things just because I like to.
Like the fantastic
Because I'm proud
gift.
That I got it. You know, she really wants a Barbie camper. I didn't get that, but I think when her grandparents will. And so they're going to claim it.
You know,
and I'm going to claim whatever the most, I'm trying to think. I got her an American Girl doll. And that was pretty expensive, so I might claim that.
Yeah, you should.
Santa might do stockings at my house. I don't know. But that's, I don't just not do it, you know?
Yeah, it bothers me. It's like, just get your kids stuff, do your own family traditions, and stop worrying about what other families are doing.
Right.
Like, that's what kills me. When I was a kid, I saw sometimes all of the fantastic things that... even my neighbor across the street, she would get. And yes, I was jealous, but you know what? That's kind of a part of being a kid, to realize that you don't get everything, you know? And I think those are good life lessons to have. Mm-hmm. Like, I say, I'm pretty sure I did want a camper at some point, and my neighbor got it before me. And I felt sad, but I also... like learned a lesson from it. And it bothers me that we're trying so hard to preserve their little feelings into a box that they're like, we don't ever want them to learn these lessons or to feel sad or to feel
really hurting them in the long run.
We are. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I'm just gonna if my daughter sees one of her friends with something that she didn't get, I'm gonna say, well, you can't get everything, kid.
Right. It's not yours, but it's not as though you can't play with it when you're at their house. Mm-hmm. So you still have access to it. You just can't take it home, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of get their mind thinking that way. You know, there's a solution to everything.
I know, right?
But it's like, my girl's tough. She's the only child. So I've noticed that, like, this month I've tried to, like, because they're off for 3 weeks. And I want to plan a lot of fun things, and I'm like asking my friends, and it's kind of upsetting to me when they say, I'm gonna do that as a family.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I mean, I'm sure I said that.
I know. You did. You, before the divorce, you were always like, oh, let's do brunch on Sunday. And you'd be like, Sunday's family day.
Yeah.
That you was me.
Yep. Yeah. I'm totally guilty. But now I'm like in another situation, and I'm like, it's so wonderful creating memories, just me and her as mom and daughter, But some things are funner with company. You know, she doesn't have siblings, and her dad's in the picture, of course, but not all the time can he meet us at the places, you know. So I want to, like, tag along with some of the families.
Well, I'm the person that takes my kids out constantly. You know, my husband, he works full-time. And I'm home with the kids, so...
Okay.
Let's do it.
Good to know.
I know. You're like...
Yeah.
You had mentioned going to the LA Zoo Lights, and I'm like,
yeah,
let's do it.
Stuff like that,
I would love to. And, or maybe Descanso Gardens. They have a good light set up, too. And we did last week go to the Discovery Cube.
That was great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. My son, woo! Man, you guys, taking a two-year-old out without a leash is intense. Like, that kid was just overloaded ADD for, like, 3 hours straight. He was like, let's do this, let's do that. I'm going to run here. I want to do this, I want to do that. And it was, I just left Nicole with the two older kids, like, you can handle them. They're basically in college.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to run after this little fairy who's just flying from place to place.
That place is so amazing. I love that it's, like, learning. And you can see their brains, like, you know, just overactive and everything's clicking and, like, they think through things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a theme park where they're on rides and drinking sugar, you know?
Yeah, but that also is fun.
It is. It is.
So I want to get back to one last point that Eliza, did you have any other things that you wanted to discuss from the special?
Well, I couldn't help but think, and I don't have any ill feelings towards, like, my wedding. It was phenomenal. It was great. It was one of the best days of my life. I don't regret getting married, which is something that, it's, you know, a lot of divorced people don't say. But
you know what's funny?
It was great.
I feel like if you started a family with that person that you were married to, there's no way in hell.
Then you won.
Yeah. There's no way in hell you're going to say, I regret ever getting married, because you're basically saying you regret your kids. Like, if I ask my mom, do you regret marrying my dad? She would be like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I got the three of you out of it, and it was the best decision that I ever made. And I know she's going to say that because hopefully we're plugging next week. Hopefully we're going to have my mom on next week as a guest.
Good.
So I know she's super nervous, and you guys can't actually respond as we're recording, but I want you all to, like, give her some... like, mojo.
Maybe on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Comments of encouragement or after you listen to it, you know.
Yeah. Because I know that, like, that she's kind of a closed off person from time to time. So I know that what she's doing is super brave.
That'll be so interesting.
Means a lot to me. And I know having that recording of just us talking about things that we might have never talked about otherwise is something that I'm going to keep and cherish.
Yes.
And, you know, let the kids listen to it when they're older, and you know, this is your grandma that, you know, you've spent so much time with, but here's some things that you've never known about her. And I think that's something that is missing in society today. I remember I was a creative writer in a creative writing major in college, and I was writing a story about a woman in the 50s or something like that. And one of my classmates was reading, and he's like, this is really good. And I feel like I have this book that would be of great inspiration to you. It's not very well written. It's not very long. It was written by my grandma, and she grew up in this time. Here is this book. And I read this book that his grandma just wrote, just her life story.
Oh.
And it wasn't very well written, and it wasn't,
she didn't have the training.
Yeah, and it was, it, you know, it was maybe 50 pages long, but she wanted to let her grandkids know who she was before she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, reading it gave me chills. I was like crying at points because I didn't even,
it's incredible.
It was an incredible thing to give your grandkids, and I hope that one day I'll be able to do something like that for my kids.
Yeah.
Because they know me as Mom. They don't know me as Julianne.
Yeah.
You know?
You were a whole person before you had them.
Now I'm like,
things have changed.
Splinters of people.
Yeah. Exactly. I know the feeling. I feel like sometimes I'm a shell of myself, but I'm coming back. I'm getting back together.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to, you know, have your own identity outside momhood.
It is. And that's really what we're trying to do here with the podcast.
Right.
I did want to just real briefly say that Eliza Schlesinger, she said something in her comedy special that made me cry. And I'm sitting there.
What was it?
Watching. I'm sitting there watching it with my husband, like, ha ha ha, oh ha ha ha, this is a nice lighthearted afternoon, you know, jaunt. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I start crying and he's like, are you crying? Did that make you cry? But she said, and I don't have the exact words in my head because I should have taken notes and I did not. But she said, this man, she was on a whole thing about how men are wired differently and they are first physically attracted to you before they fall in love with you, and that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But she said that your man, he was initially attracted to you. He is in love with you, and he would leave if he was not attracted to mm-hmm. you. And not in those exact words, but you know, she said like he is still physically attracted to you in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And you need to just let it go because, you know, you get in your head sometimes, at least this is the way I interpret it. You get in your head sometimes about not feeling attractive and then you take it and then you're like, I'm bloated. I'm this, I'm that. I don't have any makeup on. And they are attracted to you because they love you. And mm-hmm. that's just how their brain works. And you need to just get over it.
Yes.
And I legit cried because there are so many days where I don't feel attractive. Where I've been home with the kids for, you know, it feels like a millennia. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like cooped up and I'm going crazy. And I just don't feel like it. And it's like.
Yeah.
And then I know he looks at me and he's like, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And here I am with tears in my eyes.
Oh, you are so beautiful. You are. And it's sorry to sound corny, but it goes more than skin.
Yeah.
It's more skin deep.
Yeah.
You're very bright, vibrant, and your energy that you give off, you always leave people better off than when you found them. I don't know that you know you have that ability. It's almost like a superpower.
Oh, wow.
So you do that. Wow. I wanted to tell you.
Thank you.
So whenever I'm with you, I leave thinking, I feel so much better.
Oh.
So your beauty is not only your looks, because let's be honest, yeah. You're hot. You are hot.
Thank you.
You're hot. And you don't ever have to think you're not hot, because you are. You're so cute. But then also, it's more than that. You leave this impression of people of, like, this great, you know, this great confident woman, and you're so creative and energetic, even though you might not feel it.
Yeah.
You really are. And
thank
that's
you.
Why seeing you, I'm not a man, but I'm your friend, what? And I see it. Yeah. I mean, I've got to be honest, though, her thing when she said, men fall in love, well, men are attracted, and then they fall in love, well, same thing with me.
You yeah. know? Well, I mean, yeah.
Same thing with most humans, you know?
I think that's the way
but
most people
I think her good
are.
Point was that they stay thinking you're attractive yeah. when they're in love.
Yeah.
You know, we have this thing in, as women, we're thinking, oh, okay, he met me when I was, like, fresh, shiny, new, and young, and fit, and now I've changed. I've gained weight. I've had kids. Now he's going to fall out of love.
Yeah, and I feel
that's
like
not
that's
not happening.
No, it's not
yeah.
happening.
And so, and that didn't, you know, I'm divorced, but that didn't happen
yeah.
with me. You know,
yeah.
other stuff. You know, if I ask my ex now, he'll say I'm beautiful. You
yeah.
know, so he's a good friend of mine. But, you know, it's just, she kind of like triggered me, you know, some of her topics. That was good. And I loved how she talked about traveling as an American.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, because you have so much experience.
That's what is so true. Wherever you go, we have this, like, I've talked to our British friend, Hannah, where there's nothing more confident than a lost American.
I know, right?
So you go to a place and you go, show me your history. You know, I am American. I am the best. I'm superior and a know-it-all. And you should be honored that I'm here in your country. That kind
know,
of thing,
right?
You know. But you go, like, as a woman, or maybe younger, you go, like, okay, I need to adjust to them.
Yeah.
You can't just adjust to me, even if it's a tourist city.
Well, and that's
whatever,
what she was
know?
Talking about. She wanted to go to an Italian restaurant and order in Italian because, like, as an American, we go into a different country and expect them to speak
English.
English. Like,
yeah.
come on. I'm American.
Exactly. And even if you go into an English-speaking country, and if we go to England, you expect them to speak American English to you.
I know,
you
right?
know, where it's like, what's that mean? And then we do this, you know, this thing that we don't even know we do.
I know.
But they can tell we're American by the way we walk.
I know,
we don't
right?
have to speak. It's I know. Just the it's way so we true. Carry ourselves.
Well, I mean, and you had talked about it just all when you in your travels, they all just like stare at you like,
yes.
you are so different. You just have this American vibe about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not bad, or it's a little embarrassing. And you definitely notice it when you yourself are somewhere and you see another American, because then you recognize
you just,
they're American.
You're just
and you're
drawn
like,
to
oh.
them. Like American vibe.
Yes. And then sometimes you're repulsed by them. You're like, wait, I'm going to say I'm Canadian. She said that in her special. I was like, I so did that.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, man.
When anyone would say, where are you? Because a lot of times it was funny, because in France they would say, are you English or American? And I'm like, clearly American. But
do they not know an English accent?
Well, they're very
in
close
France?
To England, but they would ask that. And I thought, oh, I'm American. And they would talk about the president and politics
yeah.
of what they've heard. And that's when I'd say, you know, I learned to say in the next time I talk to somebody,
yeah.
oh, I'm from Vancouver.
Yeah,
you know.
Anyway, that's actually our time. We spent a lot of time talking about a lot of different topics this episode. I really hope everyone enjoyed it. We got a little bit vulnerable there for a second.
Yeah.
Go me.
We might cry next time when we talk
oh,
to your
I'm
mom.
Oh, I'm totally going to be crying the whole time. And I know my mom. She's going to be crying.
I'll
be
cry
sitting
too.
There with a box of tissues. thank you so much. This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I am the one and only suburban artsy mom. You can find me on Instagram, or you can find me at suburbanartsymom.com. And Nicole, she is the admin for the Enraged Women group on Facebook. Look for them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can find Lipstick and Laughs on Instagram as well. Thank you so much, and we will see you guys next week.
Yes. Bye.
This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. If you'd like to be featured on our podcast, please reach out to us at lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.